You may proceed. You must be...
Peter Wolf.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Wolf. Here we go. Sorry, I didn't have my glasses on. Everybody's sort of fuzzy without my glasses. How are you, Mr. Wolf?
I'm good, thank you.
Good to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you here.
Oh, always happy to.
Although I think there is a sentiment in my office and the U.S. Attorney's Office that going to San Francisco wasn't that bad either. But apparently, we're done with that now that the court's coming three times a year.
Well, we will welcome you to San Francisco for other reasons.
Thank you.
We'll try to find administrative reasons for you to. But anyway, you may proceed.
Anyway, good morning. May it please the court. I represent Dennis Lamb. This case presents an entrapment question reviewed de novo from the district court and really only presents one half of the usual entrapment question or the potential entrapment question. It really is a question of predisposition. And the law, of course, is that where the government has induced an individual to break the law, defense of entrapment is at issue, and the government then has the burden to prove beyond a reasonable doubt the defendant was disposed to commit the criminal act prior to the first approach by the government agency.
As you know, defendants win on entrapment defenses more often than on many other defenses. Like, I didn't do it, or I wasn't there, or it was, you know, my twin brother, evil twin brother, and, you know, the sort of defenses. Juries tend to be quite demanding, and I've seen acquittals as a district judge in entrapment cases, and it happens quite often. But this, in this case, the jury didn't buy it.
Well, that's true, but I think in part that was because the jury and the district judge, for that matter, didn't have it clearly enough presented or didn't analyze it carefully enough to see that what was proved here was a predisposition before the defendant committed the crime, but what wasn't proved was a predisposition before the government's agent approached the defendant. So in mid-August, the defendant committed the first of the offenses, but in mid-July was when he was first approached as a result of an accidental run-in between the government's agent, Mr. DeCano, and him at a pizzeria.
Well, you're asking us to review this under the Rule 29 standard, right?
Yes.
Because obviously the jury didn't buy it.
That's
so
right.
You're just saying essentially as a matter of law that there's insufficient evidence.
That's right, because the
review... Is Sherman your best case?
I think Sherman probably is our best case. And I would read Sherman from 1958. The way I would read Jacobson then, which comes quite a bit later, is that Jacobson, which obviously had far more egregious facts in terms of inducement or lack of predisposition, but I think Jacobson was saying, look, Sherman was a serious decision and is still meant to be taken seriously even 40 or 50 years later. But I do believe that Sherman is our best case because...
Just in terms of the undisputed facts, it's my understanding it's undisputed that your client was involved in sales 5 to 6 years previously. But he's not. He doesn't have convictions, right?
That's right.
He has a DUI conviction. I think it said in the PSR, but he doesn't have prior drug convictions.
That's right.
So, and the informant initiates the contact before DEA becomes involved, right?
Well, DEA is involved to the extent that they've made him their informant, and he's out operating to work off his own
sentence. His beef or whatever.
Right.
So it's really on you're kind of hanging your hat on his reluctance to sort of initially, apparently DEA calls off the informant initially because they don't have the recording device on, and then your client indicates, well, hey, I don't really want to, you kind of screwed up and you didn't come up, so I'm not interested. So then money starts getting talked about, and it's like, well, yeah, if you can come up with the money. So the question is, couldn't the jury have found that your client was reluctant till the money got good enough?
Well, I suppose that would be one view, but since...
Well, if that view is there, and that's a rational way that the jury could have made those inferences, isn't that the end of the story for you? I mean, we have to find in favor, you know, we have to look favorably on what the jury could have done.
I think that actually isn't the end of the case, because what Mr. DeCando testified, among other things, was that he had known Mr. Lamb about 3 years, and he had no knowledge whatsoever that Mr. Lamb had any involvement with drugs. And then when you look at the conversations that were finally recorded after the chance encounter was not recorded, and there was two subsequent phone calls that weren't recorded, and then there was the first of the phone calls. But even in the first of the phone calls, there's reluctance demonstrated. Lamb is saying, no, no, I can't. I just thought about it. I hate these MFers that deal that.
Well, you skipped over I've got the sequence wrong, but were there a number of calls that your client put into to the informant that the informant didn't take?
Well, actually, I think the record shows, Your Honor, the government has argued that Mr. Lamb provided his number to Mr. DeCando, but the record doesn't actually support that. And
how did DeCando decide to target Lamb? Did DEA choose Lamb and ask DeCando to go after him?
No, he just saw him in a pizzeria, and he assumed, or he thought, that because of the person that Lamb was with, who didn't
look like a drug dealer of some kind.
Right, and we know from Fourth Amendment law in the Arvizo case that these stereotypes can't even be a basis of reasonable suspicion. So
DeCando just said, well, that's why I decided to ask him about it.
Right, and there was not even any agreement that they would have any further conversation.
What evidence in the transcripts can you point to that evidences Lamb's the reluctance or resistance? I mean, is mere reluctance gonna do that? Is that going to show an absence of predisposition?
I think that when we have a situation like this here, where you have a period of time between whatever Lamb's involvement was before, whether it was as a user or a dealer is unclear from the record. When you have a period then of 5 years or so during which there's no evidence he's doing anything, in which there is evidence that he, because he says so in some of the recorded calls, that he had changed his life, that he wasn't fooling with that or to that extent, that wasn't who he was anymore, he had a construction job and so forth. I think that those things are significant, particularly when those come in the third phone call. So DeCando has already had two phone calls with Lamb. And to the extent that, you know, an acquittal here might, the government can solve this problem, if it has one in this case, by simply having the DeCandos of the world tape record all the phone calls they make to the Lambs of the world, and then there isn't any issue about what actually happens. I mean, so to the extent that the record is, we think, not showing any predisposition before the contact, the government can solve that problem in the appropriate case, or in this case.
Can I get you back to my question, which I don't think you have answered? You got the excerpts of record?
I do.
Turn to page 145, and specifically start the reading of line 6. This is DeCando testifying. Between line 6 and line 16.
145.
Line 145 of the excerpts of record. It's a page that has 110 written at the top. So it's a page 110 of the...
Okay,
so he says, the question is, the answer is, I believe he was trying to contact me. I mean, you see, this makes a reference to Mr. Lamb, this is DeCando speaking. But I was instructed by DEA not to answer those calls because I do not have a proper equipment. Question, well, you said you believe he tried to contact you. How do you know that? What is your belief? Answer, I've seen the calls coming in, I did not answer the calls. I was instructed not to answer the calls. Question, you said you saw the calls coming in? Answer, yeah, coming in on my cell phone. Question, so you have caller ID? Yes, I ignored those calls, yes. So this is what I was asking about. In between the conversations, this sort of initial contact, and then the conversations were recorded, we have Mr. Lamb making several calls to DeCano. Now, we know that some of those calls had to do with offering drugs, because in his later conversation, he expresses exasperation with the fact that DeCano wouldn't answer, and he says, you know, because you didn't do it, you know, I'm not willing to do it. So we know that he made calls. He affirmatively, before the recording started, he makes calls with the intent of offering drugs. At least a jury could infer that, isn't that the case?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, there's no question here that before he does the drug deal...
Let me repeat Judge Callahan's question. Why is that the end of your case?
Because what that proves is that he had a predisposition to do the drug deal before he did the drug deal. But what the law requires is a predisposition to do the drug deal before he's contacted by the government's agent. That's the distinction that the government has overlooked here, and that if, I mean, they're right or wrong about it, I think that the court is
overlooked. But no amount of recording will tell you that, what was going on in his mind before the conversations. You have to infer his state of mind prior to the initial government contact from the things he says or does afterwards. Because most suspects don't go around making tape recordings or videotapes saying, I'm predisposed to deal drugs. I sure wish somebody would contact me to sell drugs. We don't have stuff like that.
The only
way we can tell what his state of mind was back then is by looking at his actions and conduct and his speech afterwards.
It's
the only way it can be done, right?
In general, that's true, but that's
not... Have you ever seen a case like contrary?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I mean, I seriously believe you.
But that's not all the record shows here. The record shows, because DeCano testified...
He has a contact, and bam, as soon as he gets the informant talks to him about the message, he says, yeah, and then he starts calling back. He calls, and later he... complains about the fact that this guy wasn't there when he, you know, so maybe he wanted the deal after all. I don't know. I think a jury would have to be, you know, drunk or not listening, not to find the predisposition on that record.
Well,
it should be permissible inference.
I don't think it's true when you look at the other evidence. I think what that proves is the point that I tried to articulate with limited success, I see, that proves a predisposition before the drug deal. But we know that that has to occur in every case, because otherwise it wouldn't be a drug deal. What's required is a predisposition before the contact. And that's where the record demonstrates there was no predisposition, because DeCano himself testified that Lamb had told him, this is what I used to do, it's not what I do anymore, that he was full-time.
So what good would do you say they could solve this problem by having tape recordings? But your client doesn't really dispute what was said in that initial conversation. DeCano gives an account. Your client pretty much agrees with it.
We rely on that to show that he wasn't predisposed before the contact. And that's what's required.
And the jury could have come to that conclusion, I suppose.
Well, there's no point in having de novo review of this issue as a matter of law. If one could always say the jury could have done that. In fact, the jury did do that.
Approach to this, you still have to stick to the little fact that it's undisputed that he did sell drugs 5 to 6 years previously. So that would have to be factored into all of these other pieces as well, right? As opposed to say, if I never sold drugs before, and so I don't have that in my past, and so then. Yeah, I mean, that's another piece of the puzzle.
I agree with you, but I think that's the piece of the puzzle that Sherman answers, in my view. Sherman resolves that point. Because in Sherman, there was prior evidence of I can't remember if it was drug
use. It was like 9 years. I think 9 years. And
okay.
Right.
Yeah.
You're out of time.
Yes,
we'll
thank you.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Assistant United States Attorney Tom Brady on behalf of the United States. I just want to clarify one point. In this case, you brought up that in this case, Mr. Lamb, the evidence supports that he dealt drugs 5 to 6 years ago, and I don't think that's what he said. And obviously, he didn't testify, but I think what he said in the telephone conversations, it was something that he did, and I think the inference was, at least from the government's point of view, was that he sold drugs 5 to 6 years ago. But the inference by the defense is that he was a drug user. So it was not clear, and I wanted to make sure the court understands that, at least from the record that I read. Does the court have questions for the government as to inducement? And I have to say that the government is not conceding inducement. I think it's clear that certain things aren't in dispute. One is that the jury was properly instructed, although...
I was just thinking about your first comment. I think what I heard Judge Callahan refer to is the inference that the jury could have drawn from the evidence, that they could have inferred that he was dealing, they could have inferred that he was using.
If that was what, then I miss...
Are you conceding that the jury could not have drawn the inference?
No, I'm not. I'm just making sure that the court is aware of that. It was an inference. It wasn't actually what he had said in the taped conversation, that he had dealt drugs 5 to 6 years ago.
But your position is that the jury could infer,
correct,
based on the evidence there, that he did deal.
That is correct.
Okay.
That's a reasonable inference.
In drugs, possibly dealing.
Correct.
Okay. So go ahead.
And the other point I was going to make is that we're not conceding, the government is not conceding inducement. In fact, we don't believe there was inducement in this case. As the Pullman decision points out, inducement is something more. It's opportunity plus something more.
I remember Pullman.
And I don't think we have that in this case. I think what we have is opportunity knocking and Mr. Lamb answering that door. We provided him...
Well, I think the record would probably support the inference that if the informant, Mr. DeCano, hadn't run across Mr. Lamb, Mr. Lamb might very well have gone ahead and not engaged in any drug dealing at this time. And you call that opportunity rather than...
Correct. I think that is shored up by the fact that, again, we're talking about a short period of time. Latter part of July is when there was contact, and it was not initiated by DEA agents per se. It was a chance encounter at a restaurant here in town.
Why was DeCano even looking for somebody to pull?
From the record, it suggests that he was arrested about a year earlier in 2005.
DeCano was arrested. Right. And that he was cooperating with DEA, trying to work down his sentence or
correct,
whatever his penalties were.
And that he was out there for that period of time.
He's just trolling.
Trolling. Anybody he knew that was involved in drugs, he was to report back to DEA.
And was DEA's interest in this to find the people? I mean, are they really interested in Lamb? Are they interested in somebody, in whoever Lamb is dealing with?
I don't think they had any. I don't think Mr. Lamb was on their radar screen at the time. And I think when you talk about boots on the ground, the agents and the guys that are dealing with drugs in the streets, they are looking for anybody who's dealing in drugs. And sometimes these people like Lamb, who are, as in his own words, a middle manager or a middleman, it leads to the other people, the bigger fish. And I think that's what our cooperating source is. That was his marching orders, was go out there and find out who's doing drugs. And then from there, we will investigate and hopefully move up the chain.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Wolf, would you like a minute for a bottle?
I think that what's clear from this court's decision in Martinez is the evidence has to show what the court there said is a pre-existing predisposition, meaning the predisposition has to exist before the contact with the agents. And I think that's what's lacking here.
What would you like the government to have proven on that? I mean, how can they show predisposition before DeCano ever talks to Lamb?
Well,
other than by the fact that Lamb responds sort of willingly and apparently initiates calls, but DeCano doesn't take because he's not wired for it.
What else is the government supposed to prove?
Well, once entrapment is raised, actually the field is wide open. They can prove things by reputation. They could prove that the DEA had the guy on their radar screen. I mean, the rules of evidence on predisposition are very, they're really as broad or broader than the sentencing material.
Well, I understand there's a lot of other things that in an ideal situation or in other circumstances the government might be able to prove. But why is it a failure of proof if what the government shows is that Lamb willingly responds to Ducano?
Because
he does a little bit of back and forth on the telephone, but as I read those transcripts of the telephone calls, it's not really resisting. Ducano's not having to work very hard.
Once the phone calls are recorded, I agree with you at that point. But it's before that. There's two calls that aren't recorded, and during those calls,
Ducano testifies that Lamb is calling into him, and he's not answering the calls.
That's in between. But the first two calls, Ducano's testimony establishes that Lamb had told him that he had lost everything to drugs, that he didn't do that anymore, that he was a full-time construction worker and defined himself through that legitimate employment. And Ducano himself, who had known Lamb for 3 years, had no suggestion to report that he knew that Lamb had any involvement with drugs. So I think that's what I would rely on.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, just so I must have submitted.